Chapter 1. A Few Hours Earlier. Ellery Page was thinking of murder. Given that he was standing in the middle of a mystery bookstore, maybe that wasn't surprising. Or maybe it was, since he had never expected to be the owner of a bookstore, mystery or otherwise. However, Ellery was not thinking of fictional murders. He was not thinking of locked room or impossible mysteries, nor romantic suspense, definitely not romantic anything, nor serial killer thrillers. Nope. He was thinking of picking up the small bronze crow, it was actually a raven, had great-great-great-aunt Eudora only known, paperweight, and conking Trevor Maples over the head. "Yes or no?" Trevor demanded, oblivious to the tension hanging in the air of the Crow's Nest bookshop. It was the middle of the day, and the sunlight off the ocean filtered through the big bay windows of the corner shop, glancing off the row of ship's lanterns lining the back wall. The light reflecting off the glass, prismed in sea glass flashes of blue and green, created the charming illusion of an undersea grotto. Well, it wasn't all illusion. Financially speaking, the shop was definitely underwater. Which was why it made sense to accept Trevor's offer. "Same answer as before," Ellery replied. "No." No one had ever accused him of being overly sensible.
"I don't understand you," Trevor protested. "You asked for more money. I've upped my original offer twice."
"I didn't ask for more money. You said I was holding out for more money and that you wouldn't raise your offer." Trevor's buffed, professionally manicured nails beat impatiently against the wooden counter. Tap-tap-tap, tap-tap-tap. Each time his fingertips hit the counter, Ellery tried not to wince.
Trevor was, at least in his own opinion, kind of a big deal in Pirate's Cove. He owned 3 of the most successful shops in the village, and was currently the leading candidate for mayor. Apparently the fact that the Crow's Nest had a few dusty first editions for sale put Ellery in direct competition with Gimcrack Antiques, Trevor's most successful business enterprise, but Ellery found that hard to believe. The Crow's Nest had been floundering for a long time. He had to believe there was some other pressing reason that Trevor was so determined to buy him out. So determined, in fact, that he'd shown up on a Saturday morning, taking time out from his campaigning. This made it his 3rd attempt in as many weeks to buy the Crow's Nest.
"You said the shop had no sentimental value for you. You never even met Eudora. What else could you mean besides wanting more money?"
Trevor looked around at the store as he waited for Ellery's answer. His lip curled. It wasn't hard to read his mind. Great-great-great-aunt Eudora had died in February, and though Ellery had been working steadily for the last 3 months, trying to get everything shipshape, you couldn't undo 40 years of dust and disorganization just like that. To add to the challenge, great-great-great-aunt Eudora had been quite a hoarder during the last few years of her life. Every time Ellery had to go down to the cellar, he feared he would be crushed beneath one of those teetering towers of moldy paperbacks.
"Well?"
Trevor cocked a gingery eyebrow at Ellery. He looked pointedly at his open checkbook. "Well, what?"
"What is it you want, if not money?"
"Tap-tap-tap."
Trevor's fingers drummed across the wood a little faster as his impatience grew.
"It's not about money," Ellery said.
Trevor drawled,
"It's always about money."
And he wasn't completely wrong. The offer of a ready-made home and business had definitely factored into Ellery's decision to leave his life in New York. Timing had also been a consideration. Opportunity had knocked in the form of great-great-great-aunt Eudora's passing, and Ellery had answered. Someone behind the tall shelf of espionage and spy thrillers coughed. Ellery hadn't realized there were any customers in the shop. That was a good sign.
So? Trevor snapped. What's it going to be?
Ellery didn't want to get all expansive with Trevor, but he needed these impromptu visits to stop. And maybe he hadn't been clear enough in their previous conversations. He said, a little apologetically, because he did not like confrontation, "The thing is, Mr. Maples, my inheriting this bookstore gave me a chance to start over. I was ready to start fresh, and this is the opportunity I was waiting for. I like Pirate's Cove. I'm getting to love living in a small town. I even sort of enjoy running a bookstore."
"You don't have to leave Pirate's Cove," Trevor interrupted. "I'm not running you out of town. You can stay in the village. You can even stay on in the bookstore working for me. I can always use good help, and you've done an decent job of cleaning out this rat's nest and getting the shop up and running."
What an ass. Ellery said firmly, "I'm sorry, the crow's nest is not for sale." His cheeks hurt with the effort of keeping his pleasant smile up and running. Trevor looked as taken aback as if the bronze paperweight had spoken up. His expression hardened.
"I see," he said dryly. "Fine. Name your price. I'll pay whatever you want. Within reason, of course."
Did Trevor really think this was all about negotiating for a better deal? Yeah, he probably did, because that was what he would be doing in Ellery's place. Anyway, what the heck was his obsession with taking over the crow's nest? Pirate's Cove was surely large enough to support 2 antiques shops, or 2 bookstores, or 2 anythings. Especially in the summer, when business picked up. That was the rumor, at least. Business picked up when the weather turned warm and the tourists arrived. Of course, if Trevor's claim that great-great-great-aunt Eudora had promised to sell to him was true, his frustration with the way things had turned out was understandable. But according to Mr. Landry, great-great-great-aunt Eudora's lawyer, no such sale had been in the works. In fact, Mr. Landry insisted great-great-great-aunt Eudora would never have willingly sold to Trevor. Maybe it would have been different if Trevor wasn't so arrogant, so pushy. His offer was a fair one, and this new offer was likely more than fair. And it was true that Ellery had no sentimental attachment to the shop or to the book-selling business. With the money from the sale of the crow's nest, he could open up another business, maybe even one with a better chance of success. But Trevor was so unpleasant.
It made even someone as easygoing as Ellery to want to thwart him.
"That's very generous, but no." Trevor glowered.
"Yes, it is generous. And it's a limited-time offer."
Ellery shrugged.
"You can't be serious!" Trevor's voice rose. "This place is practically falling down around your ears. You don't know the first thing about running a bookstore. And for all your talk about second chances and loving life in a small town, we both know you're not going to stick around for long. You don't belong here."
Wow. Really? Trevor was one step from telling him,
"We don't take kindly to your sort around these parts."
Maybe he was right. Maybe it was true. But as much as Ellery didn't like confrontation, he had a stubborn streak. And the more Trevor insisted he had to sell, the more certain Ellery became that no way was he selling to Trevor. "Sorry, I really don't know what else to tell you. The crow's nest is not for sale. Not now. Not ever. Not to you." Ellery managed not to say the last aloud, but it was probably in his tone. Trevor stared at him for a long moment.
"We'll see,"
he said finally. He even smiled. It was not a nice smile.
"I'll give you 24 hours to change your mind. I suggest you think long and hard about the future. especially if you're planning on spending it in my town. The threat was hard to miss. Ellery said nothing. He was thinking Trevor was like the villain in a bad movie, maybe a Hallmark movie, because there was no physical threat, and even the non-physical threat was vague. Clearly, Trevor believed he had the election in the bag.
Snidely Whiplash, a.k.a. Trevor,
knew better than to waste a good exit line. He turned and headed for the front entrance. The bell tinkled cheerily as he opened the door, and then again as the door banged shut.
The antique cutlass hanging above the frame slipped off one of its hooks,
and the blade swung down, slicing through the air in a deadly arc.